This is Russ with Theocentric Counseling. Theocentric Counseling, the internet course from Shatter the Darkness. We want to encourage you that as you study this, again, take time to pray, ask the Spirit of the Lord to strengthen you. And we ask right now the Father would give us strength, and the Spirit of God would give us insight, and that the Lord Jesus, that we would be increased in our abilities. And I think that a lot of that comes from our knowing Him. And so I want to encourage you again, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And that is what the Spirit of the Lord tells us to do in our own development, in our own growing in the Lord. Well, I encourage you to turn to page 2. We're going to look over page 2 and 3 of just the introduction to the course. The sessions will start in the next MP3 you get or CD you get. And I just, again, am grateful to be able to share with you and pray that God, again, would strengthen and build and continually use your life. And may He speak it into you. As I mentioned in the first one, how God will minister to us in all of this. He really will. And I trust that. And I believe the prayers, no matter how long ago these were first recorded and given out, I trust that God has the ability to minister to all those that we've prayed for and care about that have come into these sessions. That's what Jesus is all about. You know, when He talked about the Father knowing every the number of all the hair of your head, and that teaches us about the detailed care. I'm grateful for the knowledge of God the Father, that He absolutely does know. You know, and there's times that I've gone through things with, you know, painful things in my life, and I'm saying, Father, You do know this. You know what's happening. But again, in the development of a believer's life, there is a drive and a call for perseverance. There is a sanctifying work. And even according to Hebrews chapter 12, there is a disciplinary work. Sometimes in our lives as a believer, we're not growing the way we should. American Christians, listen, we have really made Jesus and church and ministry simply the dessert on the side, and that everything else is the main course. And God has a mission, and God has a calling, and God wants us to bear the image of Christ. And so there is sometimes in the counseling sessions, it's all about the will of God and what God is trying to get across, and what God is either allowing or literally bringing into a person's life. So it's not just about knowing 4 or 5 principles that brings answers to every problem. It's about the Spirit of God's application through a seasoned counselor. And whether you've been a counselor for 6 months or 6 years or 16 years, please understand, to this very day, 30 years later, I seek to read new materials. I seek to grow more. I seek to learn in my own experience some of the things. And I read the Psalms more and more and more. Let me just tell you, maybe this week, you'll delve into the book of Psalms. And I want you to notice, if you take a highlighter or just if you do underline, highlight the words trouble, anguish, pain. And look at all the times the writer expresses all of the pain and anguish and even depression and discouragement and all those things that the writer is crying out to God, led by the Spirit of God, to put things down. And I noticed that God doesn't rebuke the broken heart. He doesn't rebuke the anguished heart. He doesn't turn His head away. That He allows us to spill our hearts before Him and to tell Him all the things that are going on in our lives. And so I think it's very important for us to understand. And here's what I've noticed in all the cases in the book of Psalms. You can check it out for yourself. It'll be a great thing that God will speak to you and embed in your life. Here's what I found, and it's embedded in my life. In every single case that I have found in 150 Psalms, where the writer cries out, I'm in trouble, I need help, I'm crying out to You, I call to You for help, I make You my refuge, You're my rock, You're my fortress, You're my deliverer. I mean, you can find this in Psalm 18. You can find this in numerous Psalms. Start off in Psalm 18 and then take a look through the rest. In every case where he cries out to God and makes God the source of his help, his refuge, no matter what the pain is, no matter how, like in one place he says, they were at their wits' end. And in every case, God brings an answer. In every case, God does come and give the direction, show what is best. I love Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. When it talks about the Lord our God, our Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, who does two things. He does two things in our lives this very day. It says this, who teaches us what is best and leads us in the way that we should go. That's what God does. He teaches us what is best and leads us in the way that we should go. That's what will happen in your life, and as you experience that, you're going to be able to confidently and competently share that with others and proclaim that to others, and again, be that witness of God, be that witness of Christ. You know, you read through the Psalm 119, you're going to see the power of the Word of God, that he, by knowing that and the precepts of God, he knows more than his counselors. And so the counselor isn't the wisest one. The psychologist, psychiatrist, we're not the holy one. You and I, as a believer in the ministry of counseling, we are the facilitators. We are in the ministry of pointing people to the living God who teaches what is best, leads in the way that an individual should go. It's not about our way. It's not about our will. It's about God's will. And according to Romans chapter 12, God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect. And surrender to that will, we shall be able to perceive and know the will of God. And so it's so absolutely important that we know that the God of hope, you know, he does desire to fill us with all joy and peace as we trust in him, so that a life might overflow with this divine, indefeatable, assured optimism, by the power, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. So if you are on page 2, we are at the introductory test. And in this, I just like, again, it's a good thing to sit back and just think through, pray through, and consider. Some things it's good just to ponder and think through and really ask the Lord to bring issues. Even taking the scripture sometimes when we don't fully understand and bringing it before the Lord so that he can expand on it. Now, it says that in Philippians chapter 3 that if we're to live up to what we've already attained, but if we don't understand something, the Lord will make it clear to us. So I like sometimes sitting back, even when I'm dealing with counselees and there's tough issues, if I sit back before the Lord to bring up the issue before the Lord, he might give me clarity. He may give me a word, a way. Again, he might show me what is best and lead in the way that, you know, that person should go, and lead in the way I should go in the counseling issue. Because again, the counselor's goal is not to keep the person around. Our goal is simply to get them, saved, healed, delivered, helped, on their way. See them have issues that are solved, and how they can help in their own walk to see issues solved. Many people come to us because they don't know how to solve their own issues. They don't know how to go to the Lord. They don't know how to wait on God, or they've got entangled in some kind of sin. Well, let's look at the test anyway on page 2. Somebody says this in the top of it. A person comes to you and says that they are depressed and are ready to give up. And I don't know if it's ever happened at church or in your office or at home or workplace or wherever it may be. And they're just, you know, you talk to somebody, maybe even down a hallway, and say, how you doing? And they look depressed. They look sad. When somebody's depressed long enough, it affects their chemical system, their physical body, and they may be slow of speech, and their head's dragging, they don't have any physical energy, and they don't even talk. I mean, they just whisper out, you know, I'm not feeling good. I got problems. Things are going on. And so I'm going to ask you right now, when someone would come and say, I'm depressed and I'm ready to give up. Now take a look. What would you think some of these people would say? What about a psychologist? What about a psychologist? An individual has come to their room, their office, and they said simply, I am depressed and I'm ready to give up. Now again, depending on the teaching, the learning, the methods of the psychologist. Because psychology is not one central, you know, discipline where everybody that's a psychologist, you know, relies on the same source material or whatever else. Hobart Mauer, Jung, and so many other different streams of, you know, even Freud, all the different secular side of information when it comes to psychology and the terminology used and whatever else. And actually, in nowadays, a lot of psychologists have become somewhat new age in their application. So it has everything to do with what the psychologist really believes, experiences in their own life, what they believe ethically about people's issues, and what they're going to say to the individual. So I would end up, by my knowledge at this point, say that many psychologists would start off with a different approach. Not all of them are going to start with the same approach. And their issues may be to send them to the psychiatrist after talking to them a while, because they see that they're depressed and they know that a little bit of drug therapy will help lift their emotional level up. And the goal usually is to try then to help solve the issue. The goal should never be to stay on life-lifting drugs or emotion-lifting drugs. It's like when I have a headache, and if I've prayed and the headache doesn't go away, and I know it's basically a tension headache or whatever, sure, I'll take an Advil or something like that, or I know that the pill doesn't take the headache away. It simply masks the pain. I no longer feel the pain. And I guess later when I have rest, whatever else, that which caused the headache goes away, or I've dealt with, or whatever. And that's true concerning drug issues, and maybe we'll talk, maybe we'll have more on this down the road. I'm not a tremendous fan of drugs. I'm a tremendous fan of the operation of the Spirit of God, the application of the power of God. Let me just mention real quick about the power of God. Because really in the secular field of giving somebody drugs, there's a similar approach, but spiritual, that Paul is using in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. Now the Ephesians have gone through things. If you study chapter 3, you're going to see this. Prior to verse 14 and up through chapter 2 and 3, primary 3, you're going to see where the Ephesian believers might have felt downcast, things like that, problems were going on. And so in verse 14, when Paul says, "I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth derive its name, I pray that out of his glorious riches," look how he knows where to go, his glorious riches, he's asking that God may strengthen them. Notice this, the word strengthen is the opposite in Greek for the word discouragement. If they were discouraged and he saw that they were discouraged, he's praying that God's going to bring a strengthening, something that will lift their countenance, something that will affect their emotion. But look what he does in his prayer. "I pray that God will strengthen you in the inner man, in the inside, that depth of you from where it all springs." See, emotions spring from what's really happening in your cognitive life, what you're thinking, what you're going through, the scenarios running through your mind. If you've got scenarios of fear issues and so forth, then your emotions are going to be packed with fear. If you have scenarios where you're depressed about a situation, you go over it, and in your mind you're depressed, your emotions obviously are going to follow suit. So emotions, if you got depressed emotions, or you feel depressed or feel fearful, then you got to back up to, what have you been thinking? What have you been believing? What's the cognitive issues? So Paul is praying that they would be strengthened in that inner man, that inside part of them, where the deep issues really are. You know, we're able to hide things inside of us. We're able to hide issues going on. That's why some people can come in and look happy and whatever else, and be, you know, inwardly as depressed as anything. So he's praying that God would strengthen them in the inward man, the inward person, by the power. Look at the means. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like in Romans 15:13. Now see, here's the ministry that we're talking about, that we have as believers. By the power of the Spirit of God in the inward man, there is a working of the power of the Spirit of God to literally lift them up. Let me tell you just an example. Now, this wasn't so much counseling per se, but over 30 years ago, well, not that long now, because it was right after I got saved, I had a number of years of dealing with my side. I had issues and problems. Finally, a doctor, after a lot of prayer, found out that the right kidney wasn't working, and it was swelled up, and it had to come out. And I could remember, many people coming in to pray for healing and everything else, and the Lord spoke to me. He really did. He spoke to me as I pleaded to him, just like he spoke to Paul, on the third time. When Paul pleaded with the Lord three times, God just literally spoke to him and gave him a word. And God did that with me. And I remember there were so many people praying for me, I literally felt like I was lifted up out of that hospital bed. I literally felt lifted up. My emotions were happy and high. The doctor would come in, the people would come in, friends would come in. I was as happy as could be. I wasn't fearing the surgery. They're going to take the entire kidney out. And that's close to 30 years ago. They took my kidney out. I got up the next morning, after all the surgery, and I was connected, to this pole that had the water or whatever it was coming into me. I got up and started walking around. The doctor come by and yelled at me for walking around. I mean, they called it the miracle of the seventh floor. They were sending people up all over saying, hey, go up and see this guy. He just had his kidney out, but he's walking around down the hallway. He's just happy as a lark. Let me tell you what it was. People were praying, and the power of the Spirit of God was strengthening me on the inward man. I was lifted up. I was strengthened. I was there was no discouragement. I didn't have anything like, oh man, I'll have a little scar on my side. Oh, I only have one kidney left. It was just none of that. I was just excited and getting ready to get back to ministry. I was sharing Christ with people in the hospital and telling them about the Lord. And, it was just I had a great time. But I knew one night, I really knew, saying, Lord, I feel so lifted up. This is uncanny. And they weren't giving me drugs. I wasn't taking any kind of drugs. And I just realized the Lord just really reminded me how many people had said they would, even Christians that were nurses and others that would come in and pray for me. So many people prayed that out of the glorious riches of God the Father who cares, I was strengthened in the inward person by the power of the Holy Spirit, and my countenance, my disposition, my mind, and my emotions were packed with joy, packed with peace, and packed with this assured optimism. And it was all by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the goal of that is that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, that the living Christ, and from the goal of the living Christ being central and living in us, that we might know and comprehend and experience the love of God, and the ultimate goal that we might be filled to the full measure of God. I mean, listen, study that prayer over, even that today, this week, and pray that for yourself, and pray that for others, and pray that God will cause you. I pray that God would strengthen you experientially. You would experience what this word is talking about. I really pray this. Father, I ask anyone that is a counselor, anyone that is listening in any part of the world that is taking the internet course, I am asking even now that you will just, stretch out your hands, strengthen them out of your glorious riches in the inward man, in the inward person, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Christ would dwell, live there by faith, that they would comprehend, that they would experience the love of God, the width, height, depth, length of the love of God that surpasses knowledge, for the purpose that they might be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Father, I pray that for every counselor, anyone that's ministering to others, that they would experience this the riches of God by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and be able to share that then. God, he's no favoritism here. This is the goodness of God. He wills that. He loves to fill with joy, peace, and the power of hope. And so I hope that you see that. And so there's those who use a drug therapy. We're not using a therapy. We're engaged with the living God. We're engaged with the living God. Even one scripture verse can be a word of faith that changes a depressed disposition. So let's go on a little bit here. What will the psychologist say? And think through that. Maybe if you're a psychologist, again, your normal senses of approach to all of this. And then if you were a pastor, if a pastor was to hear somebody say, hey, I'm depressed, whatever else. And again, I think there's different kinds of training, whether it came from Jay Adams and Nothetic Counseling, whether it came from Larry Crabb and the eclectic background to biblical counseling, whether somebody has gotten a hold of Theophostics and some other styles of ministry healing, inner healing, and so forth. Don't forget that inner healing has to use in its ministry Ephesians 3:14 on down. It's a tremendous application. Spirit-led praying, in the will of God praying. That's the will of God, man. That is the will of God. So, brother and sister in Christ, use that, but pray that you experience, that you know the power and joy and the effects of the grace of God. Think about, thirdly, what a bartender would do. Now, I say this because before I became a Christian, as a young person, I sat many times at a bar. I can remember many times sitting there with buddies, you know, talking about life's issues and problems. And bartenders, they hear a lot of problems. They really do. So do hairdressers, by the way. That somebody's doing somebody's hair and they're sitting in a chair and they begin to open up their heart and share. I had a friend that owned a shop, and he did both men and women's hair. And I mean, I used to call him the armchair evangelist, because as he had them, you know, cutting their hair and doing their stuff, he's talking to them and he's ministering to them. He truly had the gift, Romans 12, of encouragement. By the way, you'll hear me talk later that I think that's part of the charismatic gifting in the area of counseling for those. Again, every Christian can counsel on the level of Colossians 3:15. And we all should be doing that in the body and ministering to one another, bearing one another's burdens and caring and spurring one another on and encouraging one another with the word of God and praying for one another that we might be healed, James 5. But I also believe that if there is a gifting in the area of that word translated into some of our English translations, encouragement or exhortation in the King James, I believe it's a combination of both, exhortation and encouragement. Anybody that has that gifting has a spirit-led ability and motivation and has wisdom from God and the Word to be able to see somebody that is depressed down or needs helped out in that sense and wants to go to exhort them if they're walking off the path in that sense, exhort them with the Word of God, speak to them. That's part of counseling, speaking frankly. That's notheto. That is true biblically. Colossians 3:15, face to face. Correction is involved. Rebuke is involved at times. But then the encouragement to lift somebody up. Somebody that is this gifting when they're doing ministry at altar counseling or wherever else, they have an effect. And so many times I see people who have that gifting become, you know, that they join ministries of counseling. They get into full-time counseling ministry, and that's a tremendous thing. We'll talk about that gifting later on too. What would the bartender say? Well, listen, it all depends on the bartender. Bartender might say, here, have another drink. Hey, don't worry about it. You know, if you're depressed about your wife, you know, don't worry about a lot of women in the world. You know, hey, there's women down at the end of the bar. You don't know what the bartender's going to do. But a bartender does share things. I've seen it happen many times. Same with a football coach. Look at a football coach. Your whole life is training football players and coaching them and spurring them on and yelling at them at times and teaching them things and celebrating the victories and yelling at them in the defeats and all the rest. So a football coach has a certain method also of motivating life and making changes. A taxi driver can do the same thing. If you've ever ridden in the back of a taxi over a long period, you know, and you're talking and getting acquainted, you'll find that to be part of what occurs, that they share constantly. They hear people's problems all the time. And they're going to share things, and they're going to give insights and so forth. But again, you're going to see in the session that deals with the counselor, it's all about who the counselor is, what they believe, what experience and knowledge and wisdom and working of God they have, and what they can pour out to others. It's all based on. So again, some people have gone to counselors. I had a lady come in one time and said, listen, I went to my psychologist this morning, and when I walked into the office, she was crying and a nervous wreck and said, I have to cancel today's session. I can't handle it. And the psychologist walked out. You got to realize that there's a high level of suicide and depression among psychiatrists and psychologists. They're always dealing with maybe they don't understand the spiritual transference and other things that go on, or they hear things so much that a lot of the emotional transference, which we'll talk about as a pitfall later on, happens to them. Now let's go over a few things for you. What would you say? What would you say, or what would you do if someone comes by and says, man, I'm depressed, and you know, I'm about ready to give up everything. I'm about ready to give up my job. Whatever it may be, they're depressed. You can see it. You know, what would you say or do? Now, sometimes, in the beginnings, especially when we're really, you know, we're excited about helping to minister somebody. And if you're excited, you know, if you're living in faith and you're living in the power of God, you know there's answers. And maybe right away, you know, sometimes my tendency, I want to give an answer right now. But I have learned something over the years. It's very important. It's the three L's. And you'll hear me spell that out in this course. And that is listen, learn, and love. I'll spell it out more, you know, later. But if I'm asking me, Russ, what would I do? I think what I've learned now is, you know, I'll tell somebody, tell me about it. Tell me what's going on. Come on, man. Share with me. What's happening? Tell me. Oh, no, I don't want to burden you. I don't want to tell you. No, come on, tell me. Because listen, when they begin to pour out everything, what I'm already doing is asking the Lord for insight. Inwardly, I'm praying. And the more they tell me, God may be giving me scripture, God may be giving me insight, but the more they tell me, the more God may give me, the more I might begin to draw on the experience, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that God has ministered into my life. The more I may begin to draw on the Word of God, and the more I begin, you know, already have. And so when I'm listening, I'm also then, and I teach this in the Freedom Encounter course, the larger, broader course, the issue of sequence. When do you begin to tell them the answers? When do you begin to give them the Word of God? How do you, is it appropriate to rebuke or to correct? What about Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 on? If somebody's caught into a sin, a particular sin, it's a different Greek word where it's like their foot's been, by their own foolishness, they were caught in a bear trap, but they don't know how to really get out of their sin issue. It says, you who are spiritual, notice again the qualification. You are spiritual, you know, go to what? Restore them. That's the goal. The goal's not to destroy them. The goal is to restore them. We're not Pharisees with rocks in our hands walking up to individuals who've messed up, got themselves into things, their own sin. They're now reaping what they have sown, and they're hurting over the issue of their own sin. Our goal isn't to walk up and stone them. Man, that's idiotic. That is the legalism and the Phariseeism of human cultic religion. What do? Well, we're going to listen. Jesus listened a lot. Wouldn't matter that he learned. When I say learn, we're learning about their issue. Listen, learn, and love. All together. I'm there because of love. Listen, from the platform of love, is God's motivated to save the world by love. When you read 1 John, again, the centrality is love. The whole world would know that we're the disciples of Christ if we love, agape, one another. If we learn how to love one another. And so if we're, you know, even Ephesians, speak the truth in love. Out of the source of love. And so you read again in Galatians 6:1, when it says to restore them, it says, and do this gently. So look at the ministry. Look at, again, what we need to learn along the way, how to minister to somebody in that situation. So the Spirit of God gives us wisdom, sequence, guidance, in even how we apply. Some people can't take you raising your voice and telling them how stupid they were for getting themselves in the trouble. That only depresses them more. You may need to really have the wisdom of God and the gentleness and listen to everything and say, man, I'm so sorry that I see what you've gotten yourself into. I see how this occurred. And you might end up going to James chapter 1 about each man is tempted when by his own evil desire. You know, he's enticed and so forth, led away, dragged away. And you might need to go to that. You might need to, deal with them, how they fell into their pit and how they get out. It's all about restoration. Restoration. But also our disposition has a lot to do with what we say and how we say things. Very important. If we're very stern and harsh and angry, if that's the kind of counselor some people have been, angry and harsh. I mean, I've seen people like that. I don't want to go ask them for help. I really don't. But again, Jesus has compassion. The Father's, you know, he's the source of all compassion and the God of all comfort. And God, as he's bearing his image in you, there's going to be compassion. There's going to be a sense of, you know, sadness for things for them. You're going to see things. They're going to see the, they're going to even see Christ in his compassion and God's, you know, gentleness in you in dealing with them. Some people that are angry, you got to be gentle with them along the way. I mean, their anger, sometimes you want to fight anger with anger and just tell them, hey, shut up, you need to do this, you did this wrong, and quit being angry, you know? And sometimes the wisdom of God will lead you gently to share things like, well, have you ever heard of this verse? And man, when that scripture hits them, man, that stings, but it shows them the truth. So again, it's that application and sequencing. But what would I do? I have this principle in my heart and mind, the three things: listen to them, learn all about their issues. I even call it, later on you hear me call it, learn and discern. Learning about their problem before I speak. I'm also discerning by the Spirit of God, by the wisdom that God has already given me, by the experience that I have. I'm discerning what's, you know, happened in their life, discerning if they're lying, if they're conning me, if they're telling me the truth, if they're blaming it on other people, you know. So it's all about that, listening and learning and discerning and then ultimately loving. Even in Timothy, when Timothy's, you know, told, the leadership is told to rebuke them that they might be sound in the faith, but the goal of this rebuke is love. You know, the goal isn't just to rebuke and walk away and feel like you have beat somebody in the ring. The goal of any rebuke is to move them to the relational issue of love and restoration. So let's also ask then, what scriptures would come to your mind? So that's why I have a pencil and pad and I'm writing notes. And I let the person know that I'm just writing. And so, you know, they're talking to me, I'm listening, I'm learning, I'm discerning. I'm seeking to be someone who's going to love them with the love of God. Remember again in Romans, it tells us, chapter 2, that God's kindness leads to repentance. It's not always just fear and wrath and issues like that. It's God's kindness and grace. Sometimes God healed people and they repented afterwards. Delivered people and they repented afterwards for opening up things in their lives. And so very important that, you know, again, and I'm just saying the best thing I can ask you to do is to, even before you're listening to my ideas or how I do things, is where you're at right now, again, someone coming to you, I'm depressed, I'm ready to give up. What would you do? What scriptures come to mind? How would you pray for them? And so you might want to mark that down on these pages and again, use that and say, this is what I would do. And then expand on that. If you had 3 minutes to say something, to give a scripture, and to pray. As a matter of fact, that's part of the testing here. Part of the testing is simply this, and I'll give you this testing right there. You got your study notes. You can flip a page over and have a whole backside blank, and time yourself. Give yourself 3 minutes, and I'm gonna give you an issue, a problem, and I'm gonna ask you to solve, help. You know, just what are you gonna do? What are you gonna say? What scripture? How are you gonna pray? So get ready to write down a few things. Get ready because I'm gonna give you an issue. Someone comes into your office, or they come, you know, to an altar counseling, you know, to the altar to counsel, or they meet with you somewhere for a, you know, because you know there's an issue or whatever else, and all of a sudden they tell you, listen, I don't want anybody to know this, but I have serious, you know, issues with, you know, my spouse, and I think I'm going to leave my spouse. Now, 3 minutes, what are you going to do? What are you going to say? What scripture comes to mind? How are you going to pray? Pause if you need to right now and just kind of answer that. And sometimes it's important. That's how even the Spirit of God experientially, the ability to counsel others, in the gifting that might be there, It comes through practice, doing it again and again and again. See, as a preacher, and I've preached thousands and thousands and thousands of times in all these years, it's probably the thing I love doing most. More than teaching these sessions, more than anything else, I love preaching. Getting behind the pulpit and speaking out to a group, and truthfully, evangelistically, I love that because I follow my gifting in the area of leadership and evangelism and so forth. But doing it again and again and again brings out, it sharpens. Even Jesus said in John chapter 15 that if we begin to bear a little bit of fruit, the Father himself will prune us, literally sharpen us so that we'll even bear greater fruit. So whatever you put down now, you may down the road be able to do better. And that's why I say, you know, when you're ministering to somebody, you may, you know, need to, you know, go away and after a session and pray, say, listen, come back tomorrow or whatever the session time is. And you might take some time to pray and seek the wisdom of God and then go back to them and help them and to see what the application is going to be. So anyway, that's kind of just an introductory test on page 2. I want to take you to page 3. Now, this begins to be a little more personal. And this is very important when it comes to the area of inner healing, physical healing, deliverance. You know, what have you experienced in your life? You've experienced getting saved. You've experienced receiving the power or the fullness of the Holy Spirit. See, a lot of things you receive from the Lord, you got to realize there's ministry transference in this sense. 2 Corinthians 1, that all that God has spoken into you and comforted you and how he's ministered to you, it says right there that you can use it in ministering, Paracletus, you know, coming right alongside others and ministering them the same grace, ministry, and word, and whatever else to them that God has given you. So many times you go through things, and you got to realize if you persevere through them and you grow through them and you come out and you've learned, or even in a disciplined sense, like it says in Hebrews 12, that if you really submit to the Father of your spirit and you really submit to what God is doing in your life, the end of that is a harvest. Listen, a harvest of righteousness and peace. So if God is sowing some discipline into your life and you got to get down and listen to him and hear what he's saying and you submit to the word of God and you make changes in your life and the end result of that, look again at the goal of God. The end result of that in Hebrews 12 is that you would gain a harvest. All around me, people have planted corn and other crops around, you know, a month ago, and they're already like 3 foot high all around. And in another few weeks, sooner or later, they're going to be 5 foot high. There's going to be a great harvest, from the labor and things that were done. So as God labors and ministers, even discipline in your life, and you respond, God's ultimate goal is the harvest of righteousness and peace in your life. You know why? God loves you. Walking in the Spirit, there's life and peace. Being obedient to the Word of God, you're blessed, James chapter 1. Jesus said, I've come to give them life and life more abundant or full or complete. I mean, that's the goal of God. That's why, again, the source of all of what we're going to minister to individuals is theocentric, God, the living God, and pouring out from what we have experienced and what we know and what God has put into us, into other people's lives. And so really, in the Christian community, you're going to find some people that are, you know, that are really, really able to minister. Some are growing and learning in it. And the good news is this, that if you apply the Word of God and you keep growing in the Word of God, you'll produce, you know, 10, you know, 30, 100 times as much that has been sown. So if you want to really grow, I mean, just delve into it. Pursue, grow. You know, weren't you laid back? You know, how earnestly are you studying in this area? And do you go to the Lord? You know, I've done this over the years to go. And right now in the area of satanic ritual abuse and multiplicity, you know, I'm searching again for, you know, God, is there a new precedent? Is there a new, you know, level of ministry? Is there new things? You know, so I'm looking for every possible answer for their lives. And I'm seeking the Lord because there's no one that has greater insight, greater wisdom, greater knowledge, and everything else that needs to be done in a person's life. Well, on page 3, now it's all about you. It's about student testing. It's about dealing with things. Listen, at the top of page 3, it says, list a problem you had, past or present. So, you know, whatever it may be, list a problem. Something that challenged you, something that brought depression, or something that brought anxiety, or something that brought fear. Now listen, here's what I've always said to people too, and I've said this from the pulpit too, and it's and a lot of times when I preach in the pulpit, it ends up people coming that need 2 or 3 weeks of counseling. Sometimes people come to the altar for a word right then and there, and I've seen God do, you know, right there's the end of it. God answers and they respond. Other times people have come, and then I knew. I said, listen, call me this week. I need you to come in, and we need to talk about this more. So take a look. And here's part of the problem when I say this, and I've seen this in the local classes when I've taught this. When I come to this issue, before we even get to the whole notebook sessions, if your past affects your present performance, then you need to deal with your past. If past issues affect you presently in a negative way, you fear to do things because of a past issue. You have anger because of a past issue. You have bitterness because of a past issue. If you have some past issue that affects your present capacities, like many counselees that come in will have, and many counselees that come in, by the way, and have a problem right now, sometimes you're going to find that it goes back to the past and it reoccurs again and again, or it might bring up the past. What do you do with something that, I mean, listen, we want to deal with things now, right here, problems right here. Well, many of the problems right here are all based on past issues. And past issues can be, you know, all kinds of things. Something that happened in your childhood that you've remembered, and every time you think about it, it just brings you to tears, brings you to whatever. And listen, crying's okay. Grief for a moment's okay. You're allowed to grieve over an issue. If I sit here long enough and think about my father when he died and flying to California and asking them, you know, he had in his will to be cremated. I didn't want that to happen, but it was already in his will. They're going to do it. I said, please wait 2 days. I'm going to fly out there. I want to see my father. Yeah, I wanted to see him. And I remember walking with my brothers, and the moment we walked into the door and I saw my father laying on that table, and it's his dead, you know, he's dead. He'd been dead 3 days. And I'm at the morgue, you know, and it brought it. And if I sit here long enough, I can remember the feelings, I can think about it, and it can be a sad thing. But it doesn't affect my present life. What affects me is the fact that he got saved finally after 23 years of witnessing to him and trying to lead him to Christ. After 23 years, he got saved, and less than six months later, he died and did go to heaven. He got to go to church for about 3 or 4 months prior to his death, and a very close call in his life. But I was rejoicing about that, and so I could talk about things that were emotional and whatever, but if I had peace over it back then, it's easy to bring up right now. I have no problem bringing it up right now. But if you have somebody who says, I can't talk about this, I can't talk about that, I can't talk about that, what that means is they've got an issue that's jagged, a toxic memory, like a beach ball that's been pushed down and down deep within them. Some call it the subconscious. Whatever you want to call it, you push it down deep into your system of memory, so that if it's not in your cognitive mind, you don't think it's affecting you. Many people have 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 of these jagged beach balls that are packed with, if they let them surface, the emotion, the pain, the unresolved issues, even anger, all kinds of things can come back, fears, whatever. And even the enemy can use that and inflame that. He's like a stinking germ. If you get germs into a wound or cut or whatever else, you can get it, then it can become more infected. And when there is woundedness and pain and issues and anger, whatever, and it's like beach balls, that somebody, their way of dealing with it is dissociate the issue, push it way down in your back, somewhere, and hold it down and out of mind, out of sight. You don't think about it. And the basic is this: if you're not thinking about it, then it's not affecting current emotion. But see, beach balls, when you begin to relax holding things down, guess what happens? They begin to float up with all the emotion and everything else. Or if someone says something about childhood physical abuse or whatever, that's a trigger. And all of a sudden that beach ball pops up almost, to the surface. And it's like you're trying to hold it down. So again, past or present. List a problem. Mark it down. Go ahead. May God give you insight and help you. And may the Lord minister to you right now. And may God, who wants to give you all joy, all peace, and cause you to inwardly overflow with this incredible hope, may God just minister to you right now. I pray that. I really do. And I really pray that God will just speak into you. And listen, He's the Alpha and the Omega. He can take care of He can take care of present problems. And guess what? He can go back to take care of past issues. You can take a past issue and bring it right up. We'll deal with that later on in the course. And bring it right up before God and say, God, I know this is unresolved. I need you to show me what is best, Isaiah 48:17, and to lead me in the way I should go. Or I need you to just, by the Spirit of God, strengthen me in this area, or deliver me, or whatever. Or we might need to repent over how we responded to past issues. Anyway, list your problem. May God help you and minister you and bless you. And this may be a providential moment and part of what God has you in this course for. And there you are by yourself. Go ahead and weep if you need to before the Lord. Bring painful things and mark it down, because you know what? This course is for you. I already know that it's for you too. And God's going to minister to you and bless your life and help you and strengthen you. Now, here's the questions. If you're listing a problem right now, you write it down. The next thing I'm going to ask you, how did you feel? Or how do you feel? How do you feel? Go ahead and mark it down. You know, in the Psalms, the writer can tell him, there's times he felt like a drunken man staggering through the emotional experience. Psalm 44, the writers there say that we feel like a oppressed in a dark cloud and just misery. They feel miserable. How do you feel? Well, how you feel is the result of, the impact of what occurred, what issue occurred, what's in your mind, what happened to you. Now, the next question after that, after marking down how do you feel, mark down this. How did the problem affect you? How did it affect you? Did you run? Did you give up? Did you quit something? Did you learn to quickly pursue the Lord? How did it affect you? Let's go to the next question. Who did you go to? Who did you go to? A trusted friend? When you were young, was it a parent? Is it a spouse? Who do you go to? There's a psalm that speaks about, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord. Where do I go? My help comes from the Lord. The psalm writer cries out one time, speaking to his own soul, the soulical side where the emotion and the mind, why are you so downcast? And he literally calls his own inner soul, he's literally calling himself to rejoice in the Lord, to come up before the Lord. And the truth is, we all talk to ourselves. We do. We say things to ourselves like, oh, that was a stupid thing I did, or I should have done this, or I should have learned this by now. And you know what? In the presence of the Lord, evaluation is a good thing. It really is. It's a good thing. Sometimes it's good just to come before the Lord and say, Lord, I really want you to evaluate my life right now, where it's going and what I need, and maybe spend a day to really ask God to speak into your life. Psalm, we talk about this in depth in the Freedom Encounter course, but in one of the Psalms it talks about, search me, O God. And sometimes you say, God, where it comes to knowing you, the knowledge of your word, how my walk is, my prayer life. Listen, evaluate. Matter of fact, we have in Shatter, I forget, it's like 20-some pages. It's called a spiritual evaluation. that it's a testing thing that I used, and you can send me a note on it. And I can show you how to get it. I'm not sure how I don't think we even have it uploaded at this point, but we use it locally in testing at times for new volunteers. Because it gives an evaluation, it makes a person sit down and think through. There might be 20 questions that you rate yourself on over knowledge of the Word. There might be a section over your experience of the Holy Spirit, over witnessing, over sin issues, over repentance, over a whole lot of things. And there's a rating thing. You do it in prayer, and by the end of it, it gives you an evaluation of where you're at, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. Well, that's what's encouraging sometimes. Lord, how do I respond to problems? What the Lord says, well, you wait too long. You get discouraged too quick. You wait too long to come to me. You don't dive into my word and really look for the answer. You let it hang on to you too long. Or you get mad too quick. Or you get frustrated. Yeah, can I tell you how just awesome how God can change a person that's just addicted to anger, addicted to bitterness, or whatever else. And the liberation that can come. Truly, there is life and peace in the fullness of Christ, in the fullness of the Spirit of God for all of us. And that is the will of God. That's the good news. Ephesians 5, it's God's will. It's the will of God that we be continuously filled with the Holy Spirit and overflowing with song out of our heart and making melody, and help. So it's a tremendous thing that God is putting into our lives. But many times there's a grieving of the Spirit, a quenching of the Spirit, a grieving of the whole, and even some Christians, their whole life gets put on hold because they haven't got past an issue. So who did you go to? Let me ask you, the next question is, how did you resolve it? How did you take care of it? What was done? Did God speak to you? Did you get a verse? There's times that I said, God, is there a verse? And the Spirit of God will give me, just all of a sudden, a chapter and verse. I mean, I don't pick it out. You got to let God do it. When God is speaking, He's initiating. And any of the scriptures are great. Diving into them, you're just going to have God, give yourself a lot of, platform for God to speak into your life. And that's important. No matter how tough the issue is, give God a lot of platform. Delve into the Word. But there's times I say, God, is there something? And all of a sudden I'll get a verse, a psalm, this, that, or whatever else, and I'll go to it. And man, God is, it's like He's, He just gives me a specific word of faith and insight and knowledge and wisdom for a specific time, for a specific issue. And again, that's the Spirit of God, man. That's the Spirit of God and His ability to know in detail what is needed. So you can hold that Word of God and you can know. That's why it's good to memorize again and again. I don't care how old you are. You think, well, that's for Sunday school kids. Baloney. I've got scriptures here before me and I write them down in my daily planner. I want to memorize. I want to know. I want them in my life. I want to do them. And I want to be able to use them in ministry too. So let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Right? Listen. You can, you can solve a lot of your own issues when you know a lot of the Word of God and how to respond. You really can. And that's the important thing. God doesn't want you to live in consistent misery and all the other issues or constantly falling in defeat and so forth. God has victory. We're to go from glory to glory, victory to victory, faith to faith. We can grow strong. You ever read Acts chapter 9, verse 22, and I've mentioned it in a lot of my sessions with stuff, but it's where Saul of Tarsus, after he got saved, after he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he begins to do stuff and step out in ministry, he begins to obey and apply, it says this in verse 22, that he began, listen, he grew more and more powerful, and that's what can happen. And it's a tremendous thing to realize that no matter how your emotions were, or if right now we've brought up some issues, right now, my friend, if you're weeping out there, and I even get a sense of it for some of you in the future out there that get this, that this is going to bring you, and you're going to be like, oh man, I didn't want to go back to this issue. Oh man, I didn't want to go back to that. But the good news is, now's the time to get the answer. Now's the time to get the direction. Now's the time to get what is best and for God to lead you so that in the future, when you think about the pain or the problem, Now you also realize the power and the change and the grace and the mercy of God and what He's done. And instead of just being a testimony of misery, it becomes a testimony of mercy. You know, that's so many things I've gone through in my life. There's been times I thought, I'll never feel, I'm stuck in these horrible feelings of loss and hopelessness and whatever else. I'll never feel the same. And I realized that, man, God can take you up out of all of that and set you in a high place and strengthen you and build you, and your whole countenance, your feelings, your whole insides, everything can change. Hebrews 11 talks about how God took them from their weaknesses to strength. Their weaknesses became strengths. The things that are weaknesses in your life, God can turn around and make strength, and fears that you might have, you might become so bold and changed. God can change you, like in the Old Testament when the power of God fell, you know, when it says in that one verse that God changed him into a different man. You know, anybody can change. That's the good news. But it depends on your who you go to, who you're willing to listen to. It has a lot to do with your response. Even in that prayer that I share out of Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Notice the middle part. As you trust in Him, according to your faith, as you. Listen, if you trust Him a little bit, then you'll get a little bit of that. If you open the door a little bit to God, God will come into that little bit. My friend, Psalm 81:10 says, open wide your mouth, and God says, I'll fill it. Open wide your life, and I'll fill it. Open wide. How do you do that? Just go after the Lord, man. Share everything. Don't hold it in. Bring it up before God. Cry out to God. Share your anguish. Share your complaint. That's what the psalm writer does. And you're going to see that as he pours it all out before God, kind of like pouring it all out on the table of surgery, grace and mercy can begin to operate. You pull it all out there. You know, sometimes God can't work in your issues because you're not willing to have God work on them. He can't work in your issues because you're hiding them. You've put them down. And that's what you're going to have to tell people that you meet. You're going to learn, you know, in your own case. You know, and you'll find sometimes when you're counseling somebody, God's speaking right back to you and say, you know what? What I gave you to say to them, that's exactly what you need to do. You're going to find that again and again. Oh, man, counseling is interactive. Christ is present. The Spirit of God is present. The living, active Word of God is present. And the mercy and providential working of God is operative. Well, how was it resolved? Mark it down. Was prayer involved? Was Scripture used? What occurred? Did God give you a word? Somebody pray for you? Was it a direct action of the power of the Spirit that lifted you up? Well, as you go through that, and before you go on to session one, you might need to take time to deal with past issues. Whatever's in your past can be dealt with beautifully, powerfully, wonderfully by the grace and mercy of God. God's waiting. God's waiting to He doesn't want you to have all those points. Now listen, you thought this was all about just teaching how to minister to others. Well, that's exactly what we're doing. You know, that's exactly what you're doing. What are you going to go tell people that have pain in their life? Listen, hold it in. Hold it in. If you bury that pain low enough and you don't think about it, then it's not going to affect you. Well, until you think about it, until somebody says something that triggers it back to your mind, and then you got to live in fear. And how many beach balls of pain and problems can you hold down in the back part of your life? You know what I believe? God wants to lift up those beach balls. The Spirit of God can lift up those past issues one by one, speaking to them. Go ahead. You know what? I call it a can of worms. You got a can of worms inside here, there, whatever else you say. I don't want to bring it. It's a can of worms. Listen, bring up your can of worms. It's all sometimes emotionally bloody guts that you're bringing up before God. God knows how to cleanse. God knows how to restore. God says that He can restore the years the locusts have eaten. God is so awesome. God is so good. He is the source. He is the answer. And I hope that you're going to experience. God, may you cause every single listener, student, researcher, person, delving through this segment. May you reach into their past. May you bring the brilliance of your ministry. You pour out mercy, pour out grace, bring your operative work, bring the word of God, bring a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, bring healing, bring deliverance. God, lead them in the way they should go. Show them what is best. Bless them, God, and in that, may they be just impacted by the joy of the Lord and amazed at the grace of Jesus. And sing the songs of faith. Sing the songs of faith. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. Amazing grace. How great thou art. And other ones you know. Go worship. Go get before him. Even praise and worship is a part of counseling and change. Let God operate in your singing. Paul and Silas in prison. That's singing and praying. And God was able to bring an operation of grace and miracle. And may he do that in your life. Hey, this is Russ in the internet course. Theocentric Counseling. ShadowTheDarkness.net on the web. If you need to email me or write me a note sometime, please do so. And it's great to hear from you and the impact and how God is operating. I love to hear. It is exciting, and I share with people when I hear from folks from Canada, Australia, England, Germany, United States, all over, and hear the tremendous testimonies. Brother and sister in Christ, maybe we'll never get to see each other face-to-face, I don't know. But I know one thing. In heaven, we'll all be there before the Lord. There's an ultimate hope. There's an ultimate end. And it's glorious. And may God continue to cause you to taste that tremendous mercy and that tremendous grace that only Jesus has. God bless you, my friend.